And we begin in the U.S., where in the past hour, the General Services Administration has given the go-ahead for the formal transition to the next government, Julie.
And a letter addressed to President-elect Joe Biden, GSA Administrator Emily Murphy said that she was giving him access to post-election resources and services, but she stopped short of declaring an actual winner, saying the actual winner of the presidential election will be determined by the electoral process detailed in the Constitution.
Responding, President Donald Trump says... Excuse me. He no longer opposes government aid for Mr. Biden's transition team. Although not an outright concession, it marks his closest yet to conceding the U.S. election to his rival. In a tweet, Mr. Trump said that the GSA would, or should, I should say, do whatever needs to be done, adding that he's told his team to do the same.
Mr. Trump has spent the last 3 weeks contesting the results of this presidential election, claiming without any evidence that there was fraud in the election process. Well, the GSA has refused until now to release its standard package of aid for a transition to the incoming presidential team. The news comes shortly after Michigan's Board of State canvassers officially certified Mr. Biden's election victory in the state.
Mr. Biden has wasted no time assembling a team, even before access to resources from the GSA. He has announced key members of his national security and foreign policy teams, tapping trusted aide Anthony Blinken to head the State Department and take the lead in rebuilding Washington's relationship with the rest of the world.
His other choices all come with a high-level government experience. He's named Jake Sullivan as his national security advisor, Linda Thomas-Greenfield as U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, and 2004 Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry as his special climate envoy. Avril Haines has been selected as director of national intelligence, and the Cuban-born lawyer Alejandro Mayorkas will head the Department of Homeland Security next.
U.S. media reports also say former Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen is likely to become the next Treasury Secretary. Well, Simon Marks joins us from Washington, D.C., and Simon, Trump has told his team to do the necessary now that the GSA has given the green light for that transition process. You know, how much of a concession is this, given that he's also tweeted out that, you know, he's going to keep up the good fight and that he thinks he's going to prevail, even though his cases just get chucked out of court from state to state?
It is, Adam, as much of a concession as I suspect we are ever going to see from this particular president of the United States. You could not have made up the events of the last 3 weeks. If you'd walked into the office of a Hollywood producer and pitched them as an idea for a feature film, you would have been told it could never happen. And indeed, it's ending in a manner that would have been absolutely unforeseeable, with the president of the United States never actually conceding that he lost this election. Indeed, in those tweets, saying he intends to fight on in a bid to overturn the outcome of the election that, even within the last few hours, has been certified in Michigan, is about to be certified in Pennsylvania. I mean, the writing on the wall now, indelible. And President Trump has no legal pathway ahead of him. And yet, in the statement, he expresses confidence that eventually he will prevail. But the reality is that by authorizing, recommending, he says, Emily Murphy, the head of the GSA, to send that letter to Joe Biden, formally authorizing the belated start of this presidential transition, that's the end of this election, and it's the beginning of the end of Donald Trump's presidency. He has to be aware that he will be leaving office at high noon on January the 20th, when the president-elect Joe Biden will be sworn in to office. In her letter to Joe Biden, Emily Murphy specifically says that she wasn't instructed or pressured by anyone in the administration to make this decision. She insists that she came to it independently. We don't know exactly what's been going on behind the closed doors of the White House over the last 12 to 18 hours, but clearly someone somewhere was able to explain to the president that the outlook for any meaningful change in these election results was now hopeless, and it was time to get on with the business of transition. We have had, within the last few minutes, a statement from the Biden team, describing this as a final decision, a definitive administrative action, formally to begin the transition process with federal agencies. In the days ahead, the statement says, transition officials from the Biden camp will begin meeting with federal officials to discuss the pandemic response, have a full accounting of our national security interests, and gain complete understanding of the Trump administration's efforts to hollow out government agencies. So in that statement, the Biden team taking a bit of a dig there at the way in which Donald Trump has run the government over the last 4 years.
Yeah, indeed. And that's certainly welcome news for the president-elect, I'm sure. And Simon, let's focus on Biden's picks for, you know, foreign affairs and national security, a mix of experienced public servants as well as, you know, veterans from the Obama administration. What does it tell us about the future U.S. policies, especially towards Asia?
Well, they've got to be delighted in the Biden team. I mean, first of all, because Joe Biden, the president-elect, said to everyone, let's be patient with this process. Let's not take legal action. That decision has now paid off. And it means that in a few hours' time, when Joe Biden formally unveils his national security team and other key appointees, he'll be able to bask in the oxygen of attention and introduce them to the American public. And in Asian terms, all eyes are going to be on the team of Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Joe Biden's nominee for that position, and Jake Sullivan, his proposed national security advisor. Both of them absolutely confirmed multilateralists. These are not going to be cut from the America First, America alone, isolationist cloth of someone like Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. They're going to build alliances and act in time-honored American fashion on the world stage. So for governments across Asia, this means a return to predictability in terms of American foreign policy. And it means the threat of governments being told whether they want to stand with America or stand with China are going to evaporate. This is much more likely to be a Biden administration that puts together a concerted multilateral approach to China. And in that regard, key regional allies in Asia are going to become very important to the Biden team, because they know that China, in foreign policy terms, is going to be job number one that they're going to have to take on as they inherit that rapidly different policy and relationship between Washington and Beijing that the last 4 years have resulted in.
Yeah, very complicated bilateral relationship there to sort of iron out. Thank you very much for getting us the details on those cabinet picks there. That was Simon Marks from Washington, D.C.